Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Vipada,
Vipada,
Santu,
Santu,
Ta,
Ta,
Sasvat,
Sasvat,
Vipada, Santu, Ta, Sasvat,
Vipada, Santu, Ta, Sasvat,
Tatra,
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 Jagad Guru,
Jagad Guru,
Tatra, Tatra, Jagad Guru,
Tatra, Tatra, Jagad Guru,
Bhavato,
Bhavato,
Darshanam,
Yat
Shad, Bhavato Darshanam Yat Shad, Apunar,
Bhava,
Darshanam, Apunar Bhava Darshanam, Vipada Santuta Sashvat, Tatra Tatra Jagad Guru, Bhavato Darshanam Yat Shad, Apunar Bhava Darshanam. Viparat Santuta Sashvat,
Tatra Jagad Guru.
Bhavato darshanam yasya.
Apunar bhava darshanam. Vipadak santutak shashvat. Tatra tatra jagat guru. Bhavato darshanam yasya. Apunar bhava darshanam.
Vipada santuta saswa.
Tatra tatra jagat guru. Bhavato darshanam yat syat.
Apanur bhava darshanam.
Vipada santuta saswa.
Tatra tatra jagat guru. Bhavato darshanam yasya. Apunar bhava darshanam.
Vipada santuta saswa.
Tatra tatra jagat guru.
Bhavato darshanam yasya.
Apunar vasarshanam. Vipada santuta saswa.
Tatra tatra jagat guru.
Bhavato darshanam yasya.
Apunar bhava darshanam.
Vipada.
Calamities.
Santu.
Let there be.
Ta.
All.
Shashvat.
Again and again.
Tatra.
There.
Tatra.
And there.
Jagat Guru.
O Lord of the
universe.
Bhavata.
Your.
Darshanam.
Meeting.
Yat.
That which.
Shat
is
Apuna,
not again.
Bhava
Darshanam,
seen repetition of birth and death.
Translation of purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada.
I wish that all those calamities would happen again and again, so that we could see you again and again. For seeing you means that we will no longer see repeated births and deaths. Please repeat. I wish that it... Oh, that's the old way, huh? Okay.
I wish that all those calamities...
I wish that all those calamities...
would happen again and again.
Would happen again and again. so that we could see you again and again.
So that we could see you again and again.
For seeing you means,
that we no longer
see repeated births and deaths.
Purport.
Generally, the distressed, the needy, the intelligent, and the inquisitive, who have performed some pious activities, worship or begin to worship the Lord. Others who are thriving on misdeeds only, regardless of status, cannot approach the Supreme due to being misled by the illusory energy. Therefore, for a pious person, if there is some calamity, there is no other alternative than to take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Constantly remembering the lotus feet of the Lord means preparing for liberation from birth and death. Therefore, even though there are so-called calamities, they are welcome because they give us an opportunity to remember the Lord, which means liberation. So, Prabhupada is referring to a couple of verses in the Bhagavad Gita. Does anyone? Oh, here's a scholar here. And what does it mean?
Four type of people, Chaturvidha, Bhajante, Imam, Jana, Sukriti, those who are in, okay, the same thing is here. Distressed, needy, intelligent, and inquisitive are the people, are the four types of people who will approach me, worship me.
So this is in the seventh chapter of the Gita. So verse 14, Krishna says, you know, the Maya is very difficult to overcome, but those who surrender unto me can easily cross beyond it. And then in the next verse, he mentions those who never surrender unto him. Namam jaskrituna mura prapajyante naradama maya pritagyana sarambhava marista. Then in the next verse, he mentions who does begin the process of surrender. And so Prabhupada's mentioning here that people that have some piety in their past, when they're in difficulty or they're in need or they're in want or they're curious or they're seriously searching, they approach God. And those who don't have any piety, when they're in difficulty, when they're in need, they don't approach God. Yeah. And so the atheists, the mudhas. So just continuing on here. One who has taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, which are accepted as the most suitable boat for crossing the ocean of nescience, can achieve liberation as easily as one leaps over the holes made by the hoofs of a calf. Such persons are meant to reside in the abode of the Lord, and they, having nothing to do with a place where there is danger at every step.
That's another verse.
Oh, I missed a... No. Okay, yeah.
And they have nothing.
Okay, do you know the verse?
Samashitaye palavaplavam mahatpadang punya yasho murare bhavam budhir vatsapadang parangpadang padangpadang nadvipadang nadvitesha.
And?
It means, one who has taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, which are accepted as the most suitable boat for crossing the ocean of nations, can achieve liberation as easily as one leaps over the holes made by the hoofs of a calf. Such persons are meant to reside in the abode of the Lord, and they have nothing to do with a place where there's danger in every step.
Bravo, well done. Good. There's a verse. In the 11th canto that describes the incarnation of Lord Chaitanya in Kali Yuga. And it talks about the lotus feet of the Lord. You know what I'm thinking of? Deyam Sada, Parivavagyam, Abhisa Doham, Tirtashpadam, Shivarinchi, Nutam Saranyam, Vidarthi Ham, Pramata Pala Vivabdi Poptam, Nimaham, Prashaste, Charanada Vrindam. Vivabdi Poptam means a suitable boat to cross over the ocean of the material ocean. So Lord Chaitanya's feet are suitable to always be meditated upon. Deyam Sura Paribhava Gyam Abhista Doham. Paribhava Gyam means that they heal one from all of one's sufferings. And they can fulfill one's innermost heart's desire. And that even Lord Shiva and Brahma bow down. And they're also, by bowing down to the lotus feet of the Lord, it's as good as traveling to all the holy places, simply by bowing down to the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. And that he's the protector of his servants, and that he protects anyone who bows down to him, and that his feet are a suitable boat to cross over the ocean of material suffering, and therefore the speaker is bowing down to the lotus feet of the Lord.
There's another verse.
Oh, mm-hmm.
This is from 10th Canto, and this is spoken by the demigods when they were offering prayers to Lord Krishna from the womb. And it's in the Shloka book, it's on page number 249 at the bottom, 10 through 30, it says, Swayam Bhujaksha Kiva Satvadami Samadhi Nabi Sutta Saike Papada Potena Mahatkatena Kurvanti Govatsapadam Bhavabdhyami. The lotus eyed Lord, by concentrating one's meditation on your lotus feet, which are the reservoir of all existence, and by accepting those lotus feet as the boat by which to cross the ocean meshes, one follows in the footsteps of Mahajans, great saints, sages, and devotees. By this simple process, one crossed the ocean of Nashes as simply as one steps over the hoofprint of a calf.
Oh, wow. Right on. Okay, continuing the purport here. The last paragraph. This material world is certified by the Lord in Bhagavad Gita as a dangerous place full of calamities. Yes, it's been stamped and certified. Asasvatam, Dukalayam Asasvatam. Less intelligent persons prepare plans to adjust to those calamities without knowing that the nature of this place is itself full of calamities. They have no information of the abode of the Lord, which is full of bliss and without a trace of calamity. The duty of a sane person, therefore, is to be undisturbed by worldly calamities, and which are sure to happen in all circumstances. Suffering all sorts of unavoidable misfortunes, one should make progress in spiritual realization, because that is the mission of human life. The spirit soul is transcendental to all material calamities. Therefore, the so-called calamities are called false. A man may see a tiger swallowing him in a dream, and he may cry for this calamity. Actually, there is no tiger, and there is no suffering. It is simply a case of dreams. In the same way, all calamities of life are said to be dreams. If someone is lucky enough to get in contact with the Lord by devotional service, it's all gain. Contact with the Lord by any one of the 9 devotional services is always a forward step on the path of going back to Godhead. Read the verse again. I wish that all those calamities would happen again and again, so that we could see you again and again. For seeing you means that we will no longer see repeated births and deaths. Om Ajnana Tamiranda Shagana Gana Shalakaya Chaksur Militam Yena Tasmain Shri Gurave Namaha. So I'll end my obeisances there, because we're running out of time today. So in the previous verse, Queen Kunti had mentioned so many calamities that they had suffered. They were attacked by cannibals and put into so many different difficulties by, they were exiled, their house was set on fire, so many calamities. And Queen Kunti, she's praying that she wants more of these calamities, because in distress, we think, if we're pious, will think of the lotus feet of the Lord. And we see in our even in our devotional life when things are going easy and we're not suffering, then we think this material world's not such a bad place. But when we're in distress, like I mentioned, if we see someone die or a family member dies or we get really sick and we're in a lot of pain, then we remember, right, that this material world is full of suffering, of birth, death, old age, and disease, and no one's immune to it. No one can overcome it. It's been certified and stamped by the Lord that this is place is temporary and full of suffering. But as soon as we're not suffering, we tend to forget it and think that everything is okay. And I'm thinking like that myself because in a couple of days I'll be going back to Japan. And when I'm here at ISV, because the devotees are so enthusiastic and we're under such a fine leadership by Seishiku Prabhu, I feel like I'm in the Tour de France in a road race. But I'm not leading, I'm just drafting and just like being pulled along in Krishna consciousness. You know, if you're riding bikes and you're not the leader, the leader's like taking all the wind and exerting so much effort. But if you get behind the leader of the, is it called a peloton? Then you're just sort of being drafted along. And you don't, pedaling's not so hard even. Of course you have to do a little pedaling, but you just have to kind of keep yourself right at the right angle so that all that wind shear is being deviated. And then it's almost like you're being pulled along. So when I'm here at ISB, it's like an oasis, you know, in the desert, and I feel nourished spiritually and enlivened. And when I go to Japan, last time when I came back, I really felt sort of battered and spiritually bruised, you know. But within a couple of weeks, I felt revived, you know, and healed in the association of all the enthusiastic devotees here. So I feel very fortunate to have this service, and I'm very, on the one hand, I'm very excited about going back, and you never know, you know, just like when you go out preaching, you never know what's going to happen, and something wonderful always does, but there's a little bit of anxiety, and there's like an urge, right, to pray for the mercy of the Lord before we go out because of the unknown. And so we say some extra prayers before we go out to preach. And because we feel we're always dependent upon the Lord, but when the situation's up in the air, we depend just a little bit more, and we think of the Lord a little bit more intensely than we do normally. Especially when we're going out and facing the non-devotees, or even a simple thing when we're preaching to people at the temple or giving class, right? If you know you're going to give a class, I guess if you're a good devotee, I didn't prepare anything, you can tell, but... If we know that we're going to be giving class or a presentation, just like we had the 5-minute Bhagavad Gita presentations, we should start that up again. If you know you're going to be giving a presentation, you study a little bit more intensely when you're reading on your own. There's a little bit more concentration, a little bit more desire to be prepared. And so... We're more serious in Krishna consciousness when we're being challenged a little bit. And of course, the material world is a challenging place for the spirit soul because basically we're powerless over the material energy. And if we have a little piety, and we're not so puffed up, then we're always... trying to keep shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord. But if we don't have that piety, then that same drive will just be one. It's very popular today, you know, self-help movement, thinking that we can overcome all difficulties by our own power. And of course, material scientists, not so much today. I guess it's still there to a certain degree, but especially when I was growing up, there was this great hope that material science would overcome birth, death, old age, and disease. Of course, Prabhupada, he didn't buy it at all, and he would challenge, you know, from the very beginning. But the mass of people, they were sort of deluded that, yes, you know, that we'll freeze our body cryogenically, and in the future, science will find a cure for all disease, and then I'll be unfrozen, and I'll be able to be alive back in this body again. I told you, the German scientist friend I have in Japan, his main motivation for studying science is he thought that empirically he could answer all the questions of life by simply becoming a scientist. He thought that this would satisfy his inquisitiveness. You know, so here we, you know, that's one of the four people, one who's inquisitive. But a person who has no piety, he's bewildered and thinks that through speculation that he can actually answer the questions himself. But a person who has some piety, has a little bit of intelligence to see that, wow, my intelligence is so limited. I can never figure it out. And if I really want to figure it out, then I should approach the Supreme Lord. And if he's kind to me and willing, then that much I will know. And whatever I know, whatever the Lord reveals to me, I'll accept that without a challenge. So we have one, you know, the pious person surrenders. He has a surrendering spirit of humility, and the impious person, he's simply challenging more and more to the very end. You know, some people at the very end, the atheistic person, they proudly, you know, die an atheist, although I never met one dying that was, you know, a proud atheist to the very end. But I've heard stories of such people. But most people that I've witnessed at the very end were, at the very least, very bewildered and afraid. And at the best, they were humble and prepared and you know, actually willingly ready to let go of this body and go back to God. And they thought they were. Maybe they did. I don't know. but it's the attitude. You know, to be able to have enough spiritual intelligence that there's a supreme creator and that I should surrender unto him. Take some pious background. An impious person will have this spirit, you know, that I'm the God. And as we've been talking about a lot lately, you know, there's this attitude of not wanting to surrender to God will manifest in three ways. Either I want to be the boss, or we're all the boss, or there is no boss. So the atheistic person says there's no boss, no one in control. Krishna also mentions this is one of the qualities of a demoniac person in the 16th chapter, is that he says there is no God in control, that has no cause, simply due to the sex urge, that procreation goes on and the species continues. But there's no other cause than that, a demoniac person. And it's the same thing. Basically, the atheist is saying there's no one superior to me, there's no one who can help me. And the Mayavad, the impersonalist, is saying we're all God. Still, they're ignoring the fact, well, then how did I get here? How have I, if I'm God, how have I been subjugated by the material energy and fallen into ignorance? How can God fall into ignorance? And even they pray to God to become God. It's so contradictory. And then the gross materialist, he is just thinking, let me be number one and let me dominate over everyone else and possess everyone. Let me be the center of all, you know, as a man, let me be the center of attention of all women. And if there's any competitor, let me kill him and chop him down. But a person who's a little bit pious, he surrenders to the Lord and he thinks, he actually prays for to be put into difficulty if they're a great soul. Like, I don't pray to be put into difficulty, but I know it's good for me on the one hand, you know, and especially when I'm suffering, then I, at that time I can see some benefit in suffering because I'm a little bit chetto, just a little bit humbled. Japanese is already slipping out. Huh? A little bit humbled, and then I more intensely, you know, can chant the holy name. And so, in that respect, I'm looking forward to going back to Japan because I have service, and because I'll be praying a little bit more intensely because I'll be out of my element. As it's mentioned in the eighth canto, there's some balance here, you know. Queen Kunti is a great devotee, and she can she's not overwhelmed by these calamities. But as devotees, we should we know that as weak devotees, we need a strong Krishna conscious environment in order to continue our Krishna consciousness. And if we leave that environment, there's potential that we can be overcome by Maya. So there's some balance there, and this was demonstrated, you know, explained in the eighth canto of Bhagavatam, in the pastimes of Gajendra. Gajendra the elephant, who was a big elephant, was much more powerful than a crocodile on land. He could just step on that crocodile's head and smash him. But he was in the water and he wasn't in his element. So he became weak and the crocodile became stronger. So in that purport, Prabhupada cautions us to find a situation where we'll be strongest in Krishna consciousness. So generally that means to be in our culture, to be in our language, to be surrounded by lots of loving devotee friends, you know, then we can maintain our strength. And if we leave that environment, we might be easy pickings for Maya. Get easily picked off. So we have to be cautious. And if we're cautious and we pray, then the Lord will always protect us. He won't forsake us. But if we become puffed up and we don't, and we become... we lose that caution, then we can be overcome. So it's late, and I won't go on, but I just want to thank you all for your association and for letting me participate here at ISB. Hare Krishna.
We'd all like to thank Satyadev Prabhu and the Tour de France, Tour de Japan. The you know, some of the front runners also get beat up and require the people who are drafting to move ahead sometimes, and they switch back and forth. And I always feel your coming here is the stabilizing influence that keeps me going. You know that for sure, because Satyadev is the one I always vent to, because I always know that he can handle it. Very least, he can always just go to Japan. So all my worries and anxieties and stress and everything, I unload on Satyadev, so I don't unload it on anybody else, except maybe my wife. And I thank you very much for being here for us, because you are like the stabilizing influence here. We see your steadiness and your deep realization and love for Prabhupada. And personally, I couldn't go on without it, so thank you. Thank you. Okay.
Thank you.
Anyway, we always miss you when you're gone, so please hurry back. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. I'll be back at the end of December. I'm leaving Wednesday morning.
Satyadev Prabhu is leaving.
Finally.